Good morning. It is time to get up with a day that football will never forget. Brian Flores sues the NFL. You will hear what he wants and why it might just change everything, and you'll hear it directly from him. Brian Flores will be live in our studio to tell you everything you need to know. Don't miss it. Plus, in entirely other coaching news, Jim Harbaugh on National Signing Day is in Minnesota, not in Michigan. You'll find out why as we get up with you starting right now. Now, on a Wednesday, I'm Greeny in the studio, delighted you've chosen to get up with us, and we've put together an outstanding panel, as always, to talk about the enormous football news of the day. Dan Graziano's got the insight. Dominique, Rob Ninkovich, Jeff Saturday are all ready to go as we begin this morning, as we must, with the explosive lawsuit filed by former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who is accusing the National Football League and three of its teams of discrimination in their hiring practices. Those teams include the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Giants. It's a 58-page lawsuit. It was filed in Manhattan federal court yesterday, seeking class action status. A major focus of the lawsuit is an alleged text exchange between Flores and his former boss, Bill Belichick. According to the lawsuit, Belichick accidentally texted Flores to congratulate him on landing the New York Giants head coaching job before Flores had his formal interview with the team. This is the exchange. Belichick texts, "Sounds like you have landed. Congrats." Flores responds, "Did you hear something I didn't?" Belichick, "Giants?" Flores responds, "I have an interview on Thursday. I think I have a shot at it." To which Belichick replies, "Got it. I hear from Buffalo and the Giants. You are their guy. Hope it works out if you wanted to." Flores responds, "That's definitely what I want. I hope you're right, coach. Thank you." Then he texts, "Coach, are you talking to Brian Flores or Brian Daboll? Just making sure." Belichick writes, "Sorry, I, quote, messed this up. I double-checked and misread the text. I think they are naming Daboll. Sorry about that." Brian Flores was on CBS Mornings within the last half hour, and he was asked how he felt about that.
It was a range of emotions. Humiliation, disbelief, anger. And I've worked so hard to get to where I am from in football, to become a head coach. Put 18 years in this league, and it was to go on what was going to be a what felt like or what was a sham interview. I was hurt. We filed the lawsuit so that we could create some change, and that's important to me. I think we're at a fork in the road right now. You know, we're either going to keep it the way it is, mm-hmm. or we're going to go in another direction and actually make some real change where. We're actually changing the hearts and minds of those who make decisions to hire head coaches, executives, et cetera.
Again, Brian Flores will be here in our studio for an interview in an hour and a half. He'll be here 9:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, our insider, is with us now. Let's get to all the information that we can here. And for anyone who has not been following this through the news, Dan, what can we explain about exactly what happened with Brian Flores and the Giants?
So there are some things that line up. The timeline that he outlines in the lawsuit and what the Giants have actually said to some extent publicly about their process with Brian Flores, that they reached out to him prior to the hiring of their general manager, Joe Shane, to assure him that they had interest in him and he would get an interview for the job. There was a January 18th Zoom call that involved John Mara, the Giants co-owner, and Brian Flores to talk about this issue even before they named Shane the general manager. And then after they named Shane the general manager, they scheduled an interview with him. Of course, once that interview was scheduled, that's when the text exchange happened with Bill Belichick. And then Flores, in the lawsuit, claims that he went to the interview with the Giants 3 days later, knowing that someone else had already gotten the job. The Giants, in their statement, claim that Flores was a candidate for the job until, quote, the 11th hour, and that their process, they believe, was fair and thorough. So basically, they're coming out and saying he's wrong, that it wasn't a sham interview, that he really was a candidate, and that it, you know, basically came down to him or Brian Daboll, and Daboll ended up getting the job. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it lays out in terms of the lawsuit and the Giants' response to it. Obviously, there are some inconsistencies in the two stories, and that's where the thing will ultimately be decided.
The first words of the Giants' statement are, "We are pleased and confident with the process that resulted in the hiring of Brian Daboll." So that's what happened with the Giants. Let's jump then to the Denver Broncos, which is another team that Brian Flores interviewed for a job for some years ago, before he was hired in Miami. Go through what he claims happened there.
So in 2019, when the Denver Broncos interviewed Brian Flores for their head coach job, the lawsuit alleges that the Broncos officials showed up an hour late, that they appeared to have been affected by being out drinking the night before, and that they didn't take the interview seriously. The lawsuit says the content of the interview shows that he wasn't a serious candidate for the job. Of course, the Broncos released a statement last night saying this is not true, that the interview began promptly at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time in Providence, Rhode Island, that five team executives were there, and that they have detailed notes on the meeting showing that he was indeed a serious candidate. So once again, yes, an issue of where Flores seems to have felt differently about how the interview went than the team claims it went. Broncos ended up hiring Vic Fangio as their head coach, who was just fired a couple of weeks ago and replaced with Nathaniel Hackett from the Green Bay Packers.
And it is worth making sure the audience is aware as well, Dan, that as this is happening, Brian Flores is currently a candidate for two vacant coaching jobs, yes?
Correct. Yes, he interviewed with the New Orleans Saints yesterday, in my understanding, in Mobile, Alabama, where much of the league is gathered for the Senior Bowl this week. He's also a finalist, as we understand it, for the Houston Texans job, along with three other candidates. So, yes, technically he is still a candidate for a couple of other jobs. Of course, a lot of speculation around the league last night that this would affect the filing a lawsuit in which every NFL team is named as a defendant, that would affect his chances of getting those jobs. And Brian Flores acknowledged as much in the statement he put out last night, saying he knew he was putting his future as a head coach at risk by filing this lawsuit. But as you heard in the clip there, he feels like bigger issues are at stake.
All right, Dan, well done. Stay close. We'll come back to you with more. I want to bring some of the guys in here. And I'll start with Dominique and Jeff Saturday, fellas, because you have extensive, I want to set up that you have extensive experience, not only as NFL players, but in negotiating directly with NFL owners. The two of you comprise the players' leadership during the work stoppage that took place now a decade ago, and so have a lengthy experience in dealing directly with the owners here. I think that's I think it's relevant as we discuss this. That said, Dominique, as you hear all of this and you go through the lawsuit and everything as we've heard from Brian Flores, what's your primary takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, given that context that you've given and hearing Brian Flores in that clip say that he's hoping to change some of their hearts and minds, like maybe I'm just a cynical old black man, but I don't see that being the result of any of this. But I do think that it's possible that he can affect some change, but not him alone. The most important thing out of this to me is that other coaches need to opt in, and they're going to put their careers on the line also. But the more of them do it, I think the safer that they are, and also the more credible the claims appear to be. So I kind of known that. I mean, we all know, we've seen this 100 times over, where when one person steps up and starts to be a representative for an entire group, then that person is attacked and discredited. Their claims can be undercut, and then it seems as if the issue never mattered. So I think it's important that coaches gather around Brian Flores and not make him the lone martyr. And it's not just black coaches. I think black coaches and executives should opt in to this class action suit to add their stories also, because I know Jeff knows a ton of stories. I've heard a ton of stories. If you are one person removed from the NFL and you know a black coach, you know a story about how they felt like they have been mistreated. But I also think that the white coaches and executives should stand up for this also. While they may not opt into the class, they should understand and see what's happening and support Brian Flores and hope that we get to a place where we can force the hands of the NFL owners, because changing them, making them think differently, to me feels like a pipe dream.
It is also worth pointing out for anyone who's not aware that unlike the players, the coaches don't have a union. They don't have a collective body with which to negotiate in something like this. And that does leave Flores, at least for the moment, somewhat on an island. Jeff Saturday, I'll bring you in here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what Fox said is perfect. I mean, the reality of the situation is this isn't the NFL. Like, people are going to question Roger Goodell. They're going to question Troy Vincent. What's going on? These aren't hiring practices that these guys have neglected. They have tried to put. They built pipelines for coach, you know, for coach black coaches and people of color to take these roles and move forward, whether it be in management, whether it be on the field. This is an owner issue. I mean, this is you the owner. Ultimately make this decision. And when you think about how disingenuous this interview was, if what Brian Flores is saying, it should upset you. It should piss you off. I mean, the reality of this situation, this is a good football coach, and by anybody that I've spoken to in general, it's a really good man. And for him to put his entire career on the line, and he is putting his career on the line, by the way, by stepping up and saying this and pointing out the flaws of the situation. And to Fox's point, the other thing is he's asking not only for damages, this guy is asking for the transparency in the hiring process, not only for black coaches, but for white coaches as well. Why didn't I get the job? What did I not say in the interview that someone else said? What, you know, was I not the best candidate? But to have transparency to understand what that hiring practice looks like, because Roger Goodell can't make an owner hire a coach. He can't make someone hire a team president. He can't make someone hire a general manager. He works for the league. So make no mistake about who runs the league. Those 32 guys, they run it. Roger Goodell works for them. Troy Vincent works for them. So as many ideas as they come up with and as many programs as they've developed and tried to create, if it doesn't work if the guys at the top won't take the people that are being placed up there who are well qualified for this position. And so, you know, Brian Flores, man, I appreciate that he's going about it. And the Fox's point of view, it's not just black coaches. It's white coaches, Hispanic coach, I don't care, whatever it is. Everybody needs to understand transparency matters in this situation, because you can't fight 32 guys if you can't get up there and get a job. So, I think the way he's going about it, he felt where he couldn't make any other ground or headway other than doing this, which is a real shame when you think about how good of a football coach this guy has been. I mean, whether it be at the Patriots or with the Dolphins, this guy continues to put up and put up numbers and do things the right way, and to not be afforded another opportunity is frustrating for me.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Nick, let me get to the other piece of this as well here, because for those who've not followed the news of this, there's an entirely, I want to say, separate but related piece of this lawsuit in which Brian Flores says that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, when Flores was the head coach, attempted to incentivize him to purposely lose games in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every game he lost. And Flores says that as the team won games late in the year, the general manager Chris Greer told him that Ross was, quote, mad that Flores' on-field success was compromising draft position. So, again, that's a different but similar or certainly related circumstance, and perhaps it led, at least in Flores' mind, to his ultimate dismissal from that job, which took a lot of people by surprise when it happened a month ago. Dan Graziano, what more can you fill in here?
As you mentioned, the lawsuit alleges that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, offered Brian Flores, the head coach, a $100,000 bonus for every game that he lost in 2019, presumably to improve the team's chances of landing the number one overall pick, which in this case, by the way, would have been quarterback Joe Burrow, who has just quarterbacked the Cincinnati Bengals into the Super Bowl in his second season. And then after the team did not lose, they ended up picking fifth. They didn't lose enough games to get the top pick. There was also a situation alleged in the lawsuit where Ross invited Flores to a meeting on his yacht with, quote, a prominent quarterback who was under contract with another team. Doesn't name the quarterback, but honestly, it doesn't take much to figure out who that might have been, considering what the big news of the day yesterday was before this all happened. So you have a situation now where Brian Flores claims that he was an outcast in his own organization for not losing enough games, and then over the next 2 years, when he posted the franchise's first back-to-back winning seasons in 18 years, he was fired after those two seasons. And then what happened after that was that the Dolphins had let it be known through back channels that he had become, quote, to work with. So, and that is true. When we reported on the Brian Flores firing, what we were being told, what a lot of people were being told, was that it was because relationships between him and management, him and the front office, had become frayed. And so obviously the Dolphins trying to get that out there as a reason for moving on from him, and he feels that he was defamed in that way, and that's also addressed in the lawsuit as well.
All right, Dan, well done. Let me bring the guys back in here, including Rob Ninkovich. And I particularly want to make sure we save some time for Ninko here, guys, because he played for Brian Flores and has a close personal relationship. But just a very quick reaction, Jeff, and then Dominique, from you on this idea. Again, it is an allegation that Stephen Ross offered him $100,000 for every game he lost. Jeff.
I mean, just look at his record. This is ridiculous that any person would ask you to tank for a draft pick. Like, not only are you taking your own career being Flores in your record because it does stay with you, but you got 52 other guys going out there every week who are sacrificing limbs, or potential of hurting yourself and harming yourself, and you are put on display for 31 others. I mean, you're basically in an interview every time you go out and suit up on game day, and to say, oh, no, we're going to tank it so we can get somebody in the future. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like those kinds of conversations that they've been had, and that we're just now finding out about. It should piss you off. Like fans go to games, we play games. Like that someone would ask, oh, just don't do your best. I don't even understand it. Look, I played on a 2-14 team with Jim Caldwell, but I can assure you, we played every game. I mean, to the very end. But everybody wants to win. That just goes completely against the fabric of the game.
Nick, give me a quick thought.
Sure. Maybe I, like I said, I'm jaded from the other issue, but maybe I should be more upset about that. But this one, like, really gets me angry. When they first started doing this, like, I got a lot of heat because I said it was unethical on this show. And the reason why I believe it to be unethical then, and I still believe it to be unethical now, is because guys work their entire lives. As someone who did this from the age of like 12 till I got to the NFL, every freaking decision that I made in my life was a sacrifice to get to that point. Then once I got there as a third round pick, I continued to make those sacrifices in order to finally get to a second contract so that I could affect the lives of my family going forward.
Right.
The idea that I could go somewhere after sacrificing my entire life to get there and have my opportunity squandered because you want a bleeping draft pick is like infuriating. And then the idea that you could take Brian Flores, who is a black coach and has a hard time getting a job, and ask him to tarnish his reputation and to blow, which is probably going to be his only shot because black coaches have a hard time getting that second opportunity, so that you can get a draft pick is unethical and despicable. I think it's important that you emphasize that right now it's alleged, but if it's true, all right, sorry. Leave some time for Ninko. My bad.
No, it's going to upset. I totally understand. This is the kind of thing that I know players will get extraordinarily upset about. Again, we'll have Brian here. But, Ninko, I just want to give you the floor. He was your coach. What is your reaction to all of this?
It hurts. It hurts me to see that B-Flow's going through this right now. You know, I think back to 2009 when I was a young kid coming into the NFL trying to make my mark. He was the assistant special teams coach under Scotty O'Brien, and I had to go in early every single day, and me and B-Flo would sit in this little office, walked into the Patriots facility, and we'd go over kickoff return, punt return, and Brian is he's a football guy. He's an ex-college starting linebacker at BC. Then he went right into coaching, and it hurts me to think that a coach of his caliber that really, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for Brian Flores. And to him, I know how much he loves the game. And for him to put himself out there just goes to show you how he feels about this particular subject. And I would be hurt as well if I found out exactly how things went down and I was going into an interview knowing that it was just a sham, just to put out a fake front, basically, that they're interviewing me just to make themselves look better. So, I mean, it's hurtful to me. And B-Flow is vital to the success of not only myself, but many other players. And there's going to be certain guys, depending on how this affects his future coaching, that maybe they're a Rob Ninkovich that needs a Brian Flores to help them in their trajectory, in their career, to become a long-term football player. And I was literally 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I didn't have a first-round draft status or a big contract. I was literally a Brian Flores standing on the table away from me not being with the Patriots and never having a career. And I really think that my career wouldn't have been what it was if it wasn't for B-Flo. So I'm 100% with B-Flo. I got his back. I text him this morning, and I really feel I'm hurt because I know how good of a coach he is. And going to the Miami thing, I know the type of character he is. I know the type of guy he is. If you told him, hey, we're going to go for a draft pick, he's going to look at you and say, I don't care. We're here to compete. You want to go out here every week and compete because we don't have a lot of time here. These guys are only guaranteed 0 years. They're not guaranteed anything. So they need to win. We need to win now. And I understand now if that's the case, why they would be that way with B-Flo. Because guess what? He's not backing down. And he's not gonna lose games for a team's draft picks. I guarantee you that. I know his character. So I'm with B-Flo.
That's really well said, and we all appreciate it. Let me leave it there for just a moment. We will have complete coverage of this all morning long. And again, Brian Flores and his lawyers will be here in our studio in our second hour, about an hour and 10 minutes from now, 9:30 Eastern. Brian Flores will address all of these, a lawsuit that could change absolutely everything in the NFL. And then there is other news today. Jim Harbaugh, on National Signing Day, is in Minnesota rather than Michigan. You'll find out why as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste that you can depend on. And we have so much more to do this morning, including we'll get to Tom Brady's retirement and whether or not he snubbed the Patriots from his original statement. Jim Harbaugh is spending National Signing Day in Minnesota instead of Michigan. And then most of all, don't miss the day after he filed a massive lawsuit against the NFL, Brian Flores, live in our studio, 9:30 Eastern. All that and more coming up here, Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On April 2nd, 1984, John Thompson's Georgetown Hoyas, led by Patrick Ewing, beat Houston in the NCAA championship game, making Thompson the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball title. Thompson became a coaching icon during his 27 years at Georgetown. When he passed away in 2020, several coaches honored him by wearing his signature white towel.
Welcome back to Get Up, and a reminder that Brian Flores will be live on this program exactly an hour from now. He'll be here in our studio with his attorneys to discuss his lawsuit that he is suing the NFL and three teams, accusing them of discrimination. And recapping for those of you who are just joining us, among the allegations, Flores accuses the Giants of giving him what he described as a sham interview after they had already made a decision to hire Brian Daboll as their head coach. Also as part of the lawsuit, Flores says that Broncos executives, including John Elway, arrived an hour late for an interview in 2019 and were allegedly hungover after, quote, drinking heavily the night before. They dispute those allegations. Flores also accuses his former boss, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, of attempting to incentivize him to tank shortly after he was hired in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every loss. And so that is catching you up here. Ryan Smith, who you see often on this program here on Get Up, is also an attorney, and he is ESPN's legal analyst, and he's good enough to spend a few minutes here. Ryan, thank you. You read the filing. What stands out most to you?
Well, in addition to what you mentioned, it's the idea that a coach currently in the cycle where we're hiring coaches firmly in contention for jobs would put on paper how he's been adversely affected in these ways. I mean, that's stunning, because think about it. That's putting your career on the line, not for money, but for institutional change. And that's a big deal, because in a way, he might be foreclosing some of those opportunities at other teams, but he's saying it's important enough in order to change the way the NFL does things with respect to black coaches and GMs.
And so, again, we'll have Brian here in an hour, and we'll get more, as much more as we can. But generally speaking, what would you expect to happen from here?
Well, I think the first thing he's trying to do is get the courts to certify this as a class action. So that's the first step. And then you want to bring in other people to join that class action. And according to the filing, Brian Flores thinks that might include somewhere up to 40 or so head coaches, GM candidates, things like that, people who have been in that process. But then after that, if this goes forward, you'd be talking about discovery, things like that. It could be an uphill battle, because in some ways courts don't want to get involved in these kinds of business relationships, and then in other ways he's going to have to show evidence that there was disparate treatment that affected his employment. But as you know, Greeny, a lot of the hirings and firings and what happens with coaches can be subjective. Just because a team's doing well doesn't mean an ownership group doesn't want to move on from that coach. So that might be tough in terms of presenting evidence, but at the end of the day, this might be something where Brian Flores is hoping to get the NFL at the table and try to work out some sort of settlement to change the way things are done, to change the Rooney Rule and other things to make sure black coaches and GMs get a real shot.
I'll get to the Rooney Rule in a second, but you just made me think of something. I'm sure a lot of fans are wondering this. Brian Flores is still a candidate, from what we understand, for two head coaching jobs. Should he be hired for one of those? And they are the Saints and the Texans. How, if at all, would that impact the lawsuit?
What's interesting is he could keep the lawsuit going. Now, you might say, how would that even work? The idea is it's a separate issue in a way. You're hired by the team, and the team knows that this is going on, even though you're essentially suing that team. They're saying, okay, you've decided to make this stand. We believe, maybe with you, that that changes should happen. So we're bringing you on because we think you're a great coach. It doesn't necessarily stop him from continuing the suit. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where they decide to settle all the sides involved, but it just because he's hired by a team doesn't mean he doesn't continue that lawsuit, because the point, at least according to this lawsuit, is institutional change, changing the way the business is done, and that is not mutually exclusive from being a head coach in the NFL.
And there's one more thing I think we must bring into the conversation, and that is the Rooney Rule. And sometimes I think we mention that, and many fans may not even know specifically what it is. So let me tell you, as of this year, they have approved changes to that rule. So the way it stands now, every team must interview at least two external minority candidates for open head coaching positions and at least one external minority candidate for a coordinator job. Additionally, at least one minority and or female candidate must be interviewed for senior level positions like club president or any other senior executive position. So, Ryan, how does the Rooney Rule, the mere fact of its existence, how does that impact a lawsuit like this?
Because the implication in the Rooney Rule is that the interviews are supposed to be in good faith. The bottom line here is it's not just about bringing in coaches or potential coaches to interview. You talk to them, but you had no intention of hiring them. The idea behind the Rooney Rule when it was set up was this idea of, hey, we want to bring people in to teach them about the process, candidates of color, to give them a sense of what it's like so that maybe in the future they can get head coaching jobs. And not only that, the other idea was you bring people in that you wouldn't normally bring in because they might not look like you, but then in talking to them and learning more about them, you say, you know what, we're going to hire this guy, but now why don't we hire this coaching candidate of color. If you're just bringing in people to interview them and don't have the good faith basis of really trying to see if they actually are a real candidate for your job, then you're not really meeting the spirit of the Rooney Rule. The idea is to try to promote and build in more black head coaches and more black GMs in the league. And if you're just bringing people in and creating sham interviews, as he claims it, you're not meeting that key core of it. And without that, the rule becomes empty.
I think that's really well explained. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this. I know you have a busy morning as well. We appreciate you jumping in here. The NFL did release a statement last night in which they say the NFL and our clubs are deeply committed to ensuring equitable employment practices and continue to make progress in providing equitable opportunities throughout our organizations. Diversity is core to everything we do, and there are few issues on which our clubs and our internal leadership team spend more time. We will defend against these claims, which are without merit. That is from the National Football League. Let me bring our crew back in here, including Mike Tannenbaum, who, as I think most of you know, was a general manager in the NFL for many years in two different places. And I know, Mike T, that you spoke to some NFL owners last week about coaching candidates, including Brian Flores. What did you take away from those conversations?
Yeah, I was hopeful that we were going to get a different result, which was the owners I had spoke to were asking me thoughtful questions about multiple candidates at multiple teams. And I thought we'd be sitting here today with, you know, more minority candidates have been hired, and clearly that hasn't happened, which is really disappointing. So going back a week ago, I thought we'd be in a different place. I thought this year the process was different in terms of more candidates were being interviewed, and I thought that was going to lead to a different result, but clearly that hasn't happened.
So to be clear, the impression you got from whomever it is you spoke to was that Brian Flores was a legitimate candidate for at least one, if not more than one, head coaching vacancy.
Yeah, I agree. Without getting into specific conversations, I've been asked about a lot of candidates, both at the GM and coaching level. And yeah, I thought that Coach Flores had a chance at more than one of these openings. And obviously sitting here today, looking at the results of the hiring cycle, you know, we have not seen any change in terms of more minority coaches being hired.
All right, Dominique, I want to come back to you again here because the statement I just read comes from the National Football League office. And I think a lot of times NFL fans, generally sports fans, will see these issues and say this is a league office issue. Is that an accurate way to depict the issue here with regard to hiring in coaches and other roles?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a fair way to put it. I think the onus is on us in the media. If you get an opportunity to talk to the owners of the teams, you need to ask them the question, because part of Roger Goodell's job is just to be there and take the slings and arrows when the owners make decisions and to not have to answer any hard questions. But they are making the decision. And I'm certainly not going to be a Roger Goodell apologist. But if you look at the executives in the league office, it's quite diverse, from women to African-Americans. Like, it's a diverse place. It seems that at least on the C-level and the vice president's level at the league office, they are walking what they talk. But yeah, at the other levels, across the team-wide level, it's not happening. And I understand that Mike Tannenbaum's had these conversations, but I frankly do think that it's important to find out the truth about Brian Flores. But honestly, I don't care, like, about that specific hire. Like, I think we all accept that there's a problem here. And we have Brian Flores has given us an opportunity to try to address that problem. And it's not just his responsibility at this point. It's all of our responsibility, people who cover this game, the people who watch this game, and the other coaches who are coaching this game. It's our responsibility to gather around this and try to address the issues in the best way we can.
I think that's right. And I think the question is, what can be done to affect change that actually matters? Because the Rooney Rule seems at this moment not to be impacting these decisions in the way that it was designed, or at least hoped that it would. Mike T, let me get everyone else in here, and I'll come back to you, I promise. Jeff, jump in. What as you hear all these conversations, what thoughts can you add?
Yeah, I think what Fox just said is extremely well said. And I think what Ryan said about the transparency of hiring, it's not just about Brian Flores. It's when we move forward, how are these decisions being made? And that puts the onus on the owners, right? Is now all of a sudden you're seeing their hiring practices. Why is one guy getting a job and one guy not? What did I say in the interview that wasn't accepted? What did he say that sounded different than what I said? However, whatever happens, at least now every coach can see what they're doing wrong and what they're doing right state in this process? Because it's obvious you're not getting a fair shot. You got one black head coach in the NFL. It's a freaking joke, right? And so we've hired, what, four or five now? And one's, you know, potentially going to Minnesota as well. I mean, listen, something is wrong. And this is, I agree 100%. This is not a Roger Goodell, Troy Vincent, Jeff Pasch issue. This is an owner issue. When they start the hiring process, they're the ones who get to say who their head coach is going to be, who their general manager is going to be, who their president is going to be. It's those conversations that have to be had at that level for significant change to happen.
Let me ask Graziano. I'm sure that as soon as this news came out yesterday, Dan, you were on the phone with any number of people. There is this talk of the possibility of other coaches joining this lawsuit, at making it a true class action lawsuit. What, if anything, have you heard about any expectation relative to that?
Well, my understanding, and the lawyers that we have here today can correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that Flores is seeking to get the suit certified as a class action by the court. And if that mm-hmm. were to happen, then anyone identified as a member of the class would be able to opt out of the suit. But it's not a question of opting in. So that's my understanding with talking to people who have law degrees. If I'm wrong, please, Ryan or Mike or one of Brian Flores' attorneys who's coming in later, please correct me. I am not a lawyer, do not have a law degree. But to the point of what I think you're asking, you know, will other coaches who feel like they've been treated similarly want to join in with Brian Flores on this? That's a question that involves them asking themselves what kind of risk do they want to bring to their potential careers. Brian Flores, in his statement yesterday, strongly indicated that he understands that this may mean his coaching career is over. That's obviously a possibility. You know, the idea that teams might not want to hire someone who's suing them. That's not me saying that's right or wrong. So if there's another coach that wants to jump in on this, they probably have to assume that same level of risk. And obviously, it's hard to know for a fact what kind of appetite each individual in question would have for something like that.
Mike T, give us a finishing thought just for the moment.
So I'm fortunate to teach at Columbia in their Masters of Sports Management program. Over the last 2 years, we've studied the Rooney Rule, which has shockingly been ineffective for decades. And one of the proposals we've suggested to the league is to put a much greater emphasis on the hiring at the entry-level position, both gender and racial diverse candidates, because if that's a much more effective long-term solution, because then they can ascend through the ranks in terms of being qualified candidates. And to me, long-term, I think if there's a much greater emphasis put on the entry-level positions, hopefully that'll help make meaningful change years from now.
Okay, let me leave that there for the moment. Again, we have this covered all morning long, and I'll remind you that Brian Flores will be in our studio now about 45 minutes from now, 48 minutes to be exact. Brian Flores will be here with answers to all of the questions on this morning that football will never forget for any number of reasons. In addition to that, today we will cover Tom Brady, who announced his retirement yesterday and left out the team he played 20 years for, and the coaches and the ownership and the fans. Was that done on purpose? We're talking about it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up on this day of enormous news. Brian Flores filing a lawsuit against the National Football League yesterday. He will be live in our studio in 43 minutes. Don't miss Brian Flores live on Get Up, 9:30 Eastern time. In the meantime, let's go through some of the other news of the sports day. Tom Brady, as you know, officially announced his retirement yesterday in a lengthy Instagram post. It was 8 pages, and in those 8 pages, he made no mention of the New England Patriots organization, their fans, of the owner Robert Kraft, or his longtime coach Bill Belichick. After the retirement news broke, the Patriots posted to Twitter a statement from Kraft praising the quarterback's time in New England. And about 2 hours later, Brady quote tweeted that with the comment, "Thank you, Patriots Nation. I'm beyond grateful. Love you all." That coming after there was a great deal of not criticism, I suppose is the right word, of Brady in some quarters for leaving out the Patriots entirely. Rob Ninkovich, I'll start with you. You were his teammate in New England for a long time. What was your reaction to all of this?
Listen,
in May, or I think it was March of 2020. Yeah, it was 2020 mm-hmm. when he left the Patriots. He made a statement. To all my teammates, coaches, executives, staff, Coach Belichick, RKK, and the Kraft family and the entire organization, I want to say thank you for the past 20 years of my life to the daily commitment of winning and creating a winning culture built on values. I'm grateful for all you taught me. I have learned from everyone. You have allowed me to maximize my potential as a player and all I could hope for. Everything we accomplished brings me great joy and the lessons I've learned. And like, he did this. He already did this. I mean, I can go through this whole thing. Then he said, I want to say thank you to all the incredible fans and the Patriots supporters. Massachusetts has been my home for 20 years. He did this in 2020. So I understand he's in a new team. He just won a Super Bowl. He's already done that. So he said his thank yous 2 years ago. He came to New England. You booed him in New England, everyone. You booed him when he came on the field. So, yeah, he rides off into the sunset. He's retired.
I'm going to try that.
A couple weeks ago he might do. And I had the clown nose. Everyone thought I was a clown because right. I said I could see him retiring. So guess what? He thanked the team that he was with currently. He's already thanked the Patriots. Move on. It's over with. Now he can go enjoy his $5 million boat he's got.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Probably more than that. Go ahead, Dominique. What is your reaction to that?
I mean, it was the final moment, his big retirement. He had 9 pages posted on Instagram at no point. So you're trying to suggest to me that at no point it crossed his mind that maybe I should include the Patriots. Like, it's not a big deal. No one should lose any sleep over it. But it was intentional. Let's not pretend like he can be like, oh, but I said it once. I remember that time when I said it. Thanks that one time. No one remembers that. You couldn't even remember the date. Like, everyone is going to remember this one thank you post that he sent, his farewell post, that he left out the most important franchise and owner and coach and teammates. He didn't even mention them like they did exist. That was not a mistake. That's all.
That is the one thing, Jeff. What exactly is Ninko drinking there? Is that significant yeah. to this conversation? What does it say? It just says XO.
It's coffee. It's like hugs. XOXO, like hugs and kisses.
Oh, I got it. Okay. You're just sending those to Tommy today? Jeff, because if there's one thing we all know about Brady, and Ninko knows him best, he's a very calculated person. He does very few things just sort of willy-nilly. The idea that this was an oversight, that it was accidental, certainly doesn't seem to make any sense. So it was purposefully done for whatever reason, maybe yeah. because he felt he had done it already, but he didn't mention anything to do with New England, Jeff. What's your reaction?
I agree with Ninko here. Listen, he has done it. And the fact that he's been with another team for 2 years and he says his goodbye and he says his retirement, was it purposeful? Probably. But this is one of the most genuine, kind guys that we all talk about, how humble he is, what a great guy. We think he's going to take a shot on the way out. I don't think this was an intentional shot. I think he was thanking the team he was on. He appreciated it. Again, he had already thanked the Patriots. And when he goes in the Hall of Fame 5 years from yesterday or whenever it is, and he walks in the Hall of Fame, I can assure you he's going to talk about the Patriots. He loved the Patriots organization, his time there. I do not think this was a slight or a shot. I think he did what he gave his retirement speech in his in his Instagram or whatever. I do not think it was a shot on the way out. That doesn't even fit his personality and what we know of Tom Brady.
Did Peyton Manning mention the Colts when he retired?
I have no idea. Honestly, I didn't even listen. I was there, and I was just like, man, my boy's done, dude. It hurts your heart. I didn't even think about it. In all honesty.
I'm sure he did. But, I mean, whatever. Maybe he's planning some big parade in New England later on this year. Maybe he has some big plan to give them what they deserve. But if this is the last thing, he doesn't say anything to them, then –
Greeny just getting in there.
Look, I mean, your opinion is your opinion. You're more than entitled to it. We may not see it the same way, but that's what makes the world go round. By the way, tomorrow Amen. Night after the NFL Pro Bowl Skills Showdown, we got the top teams in the Pac-12 squaring off in men's basketball, UCLA and Arizona. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, and this is new, on Meanwhile on Planet Earth, brought to you by Whole Foods Market, what is new is the Washington football team has a name. They are now known as the Washington Commanders. That is the name of the NFL team in Washington. They are the Washington Commanders. Jeff, your reaction?
All right. Washington Commanders. I mean, it's a name. Let's go with it.
Nick, anything?
I mean, it's an obvious upgrade. It'll be an awesome name if they win some Super Bowls. That's all that matters. Win some Super Bowls, and you'll see Washington Commanders shirts all over the place. But we can't say that it's not an improvement. It's certainly an improvement on what they were doing before.
Yeah. Quick thought, Nico. Washington Commanders. You like it?
Yeah, I do. Anything is better than the team. I mean, come on. Like, it's way better. So, yes, now they finally have a name right now, and I like it. I like the Commanders. Yes.
Fair enough. I'll have Ron Rivera, their coach, on my radio show later today. We'll talk about that and more. Meanwhile, our NBA doubleheader tonight on ESPN. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are at the Garden, taking on Julius Randle and the Knicks. That game is 7:30 Eastern. Then Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets visit Utah. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Okay, yesterday, Brian Flores filing a lawsuit. That is an enormous moment, perhaps, in the NFL and the integrity of its hiring practices. Why did he do it? We will ask him when he joins us live in our studio in our next hour. Get up on ESPN.